You may be seated. Happy Monday morning. Hey, can you believe it? Fall break is coming up this week. Wow. Diane, come on out. Hey, that's good news, but you got still a lot of work to do today and for the coming week. But next Monday, no school, just so you know that. Hey, we have been studying the book of Acts this semester and looking how the Holy Spirit has been working in people's lives, transforming their lives. And what was happening 2,000 years ago still happens today. Holy Spirit working in the lives of people, drawing them to Christ, transforming their lives. We are hearing different stories throughout this semester from different faculty, staff, community members, and students. Today, Diane Portfleet from the English department. How many know Diane Portfleet? Yes, there's a couple of students out there. Diane's been on staff for 27 years in the English department. I asked her one interesting fact about herself. She lives on a 140-acre farm and has the best organic apples this side of the Mississippi. There's your fact for today. But let me pray for Diane, and then she's going to share. Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you, by grace, have chosen us. And we are so grateful for that. Thank you that you have chosen Diane to be your daughter and now to speak to us what you have done in her life. Be with her now. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you welcome Diane Portfleet?
What I want to do, 10 minutes and I have a clock here, so you have to write to the second. But what I want to do is very briefly refer you to one of the last chapters in the book of John. After the crucifixion, it says on the third day of the week, after 3 days after the crucifixion, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb before it was light, while it was still dark, and she saw that the stone had been rolled away. And she ran back to the disciples and said, "They've taken the body of my Lord, of Jesus." And it tells the story of Peter, John running out and going in the sepulchre and finding it empty. And Mary stays behind at the tomb, and she's weeping. And she's weeping so hard that when she gazes into the sepulchre, she sees two angels, which would be astounding enough, but it's like she doesn't even notice it. She says, "If you've taken my Lord's body, show me where you've taken him." She doesn't even acknowledge there's angels there. And then there's somebody behind her, and she assumes it's the gardener. And she says to him through her tears, "If you have taken the body of my Lord, tell me where he is, and I will go and bring him back myself." And it was Jesus standing there, and all he did was say, "Mary." And suddenly she recognized him. It was the Lord. And she fell at his feet and worshiped him. And I think for every one of us, there's been points, several points in our time where God has called to us, called our names, named us, ask us to come to him. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My parents were not religious. And I started having nightmares when I was 6 years old. Kind of a strange thing for a little 6 years old, but now I have a little 5-year-old granddaughter who's having nightmares. I know what to do with her now. My mother didn't know what to do with me. I was afraid to go to bed. And she had heard that the 23rd Psalm was comforting. And all they had in the house was a King James version of the Bible. And I loved to read at 6. I had learned to read. I loved to read. So she gave me the King James version of the Bible to read the 23rd Psalm before I go to sleep, thinking it would stop my nightmares. I fell in love with the Bible. Literally fell in love with it. I loved all books, but I started at Genesis and started reading the whole Bible from cover to cover. And then I finally asked my parents for a nightlight so I could stay up late into the night and keep on reading after they'd gone to bed. I'd wait till I hear they'd fallen asleep, and I'd get back up and stay up many times all night reading the Bible. It was the beginning of a journey with God, and I didn't have a name for it at that time, what I was searching for. I didn't know I was searching for God, but he was surely searching for me and saying, "Come home to me." By the time I'd graduated from high school, I'd probably read the Bible 300 or 400 times, cover to cover, memorized large portions of it, and had given myself as best I knew how to this Jesus, this God that I read about. But I didn't have any religious training at all. And I went to our public library in my hometown, And I decided I might as well read all the religious books here. Maybe I'll learn something from somebody. And I started from A through Z and read every religious book in the library in our hometown. If you ever try to read all the religious books in the library from A through Z, you get quite a combination of Buddhism and Hinduism and everything else, and liberal and conservative and everything. I could not wait to get to Kalamazoo College, where I went to undergraduate, so that I could get to a church that said they believed in the Bible. I couldn't wait to find somebody else that knew this book and loved this book like I did. And the first church I was exposed to that I went to, suddenly I realized they didn't have the same values I had. They were racist. They didn't believe in all the things I loved, dancing, smoking. I didn't smoke. My dad loved to smoke. Playing cards, all the various things I enjoyed, intellectual studies, which I enjoyed. The pastor felt Kalamazoo was such an heretical place, he wouldn't even step on campus, even though I had a Bible study going on campus with students. And I went through a period, I said, either I'm totally crazy for my readings, thinking there is a God like this, or the whole church is crazy. And I began an off again, on again relationship with institutionalized Christianity. Dropped out for a little while because I was just so turned off with every Christian institutionalized church I met. And the Lord was still chasing me in spite of it. When C.S. Lewis talks about the hound of heaven, literally, I was dragged back into the kingdom of heaven, kicking and screaming most of the way back into it. Could not get over the Christ that I had read about all my life and had learned to love as best I could as a small child and as I was growing up through teenage years. And ever since there, I'm sure there's doubts, there's questions, there's fears, but I've kept up the reading of the Bible cover to cover and cover to cover. Sure, I study certain parts of it and I slow down because I teach an adult Sunday school class and I study certain sections and I have a lot of writers who really helped me along this journey. But what I've discovered is no matter how far I try to run away from God, He won't let me get very far until He's calling me and wooing me back again. I remember a really low point in my life. One of my favorite students had died of AIDS, and I was really angry. I was reading Elie Wiesel's Night Trilogy that some of you may have read, and reading all about the Holocaust, concentration camps. And as he said, his soul died on the altar of the Holocaust. I felt like my soul was dying because one of my favorite students, I just signed his will and I was going to be preaching at his funeral from AIDS. And I remember I pulled along the highway because I was just literally dying inside, and I just said, the world's absurd. There's no meaning to life. What a fool I've been for believing this all my life, that there's a God who cares and loves me. And a beautiful rainbow appeared in the rearview mirror of my car. Perfect rainbow, absolutely gorgeous. And I was cynical enough at that time. I said, you know, that's really nice, but I can't see it on my rearview mirror, you know. And just that moment, another beautiful rainbow appeared in the western part of the sky. So there was a rainbow in the east and one in the west, and I've never seen that before or since. A rainbow both directions, in front and in back. And I got out of my car, and I realized God cares. There is a God, and He's watching over Dave. And Dave is with Him, and Dave is in heaven, smiling on me. He's probably one of the rainbows up there, smiling on me. And I began to realize how deeply God loves us and how deeply God pursues us. And if we're willing to open our eyes, there are miracles around us all the time. And most of the time, we think we're pursuing God, and He's not there. And there were a lot of times that I thought I was searching for Him, and He wasn't there, and I was crying out in anguish. He was always there, pursuing me all the time. I just didn't see it. I couldn't hear it. I couldn't understand it. Did it make my life easier when I really finally gave everything over to Christ? No. I got cancer after that. My husband got cancer after that. Both my parents died. My dad had a massive heart attack after that. My friend died of AIDS. There was just one tragedy on another tragedy on another tragedy. But God was there. In the midst of the tragedies, He was there. Do I still doubt? Absolutely. Am I still growing in my knowledge of God? Absolutely. Will I ever learn everything about God? Never. Never in my life. I won't even begin to learn this much about God. He is so immense, so mysterious. But what I would like to urge each of you, pay attention to the miracles around you. Listen to God's soft voice when He's speaking to you. Don't ignore it. don't be so full of yourself that you can't hear God. There's no room for God to speak to you. And it's easy to do that. And I think especially among intellectuals, it's very easy to think we're a little bit too intelligent for this. You don't expect me to really believe this, do you? You really believe there's a life after death. You really believe there's a God out there who's intimately involved in our lives. You really think he cares about each of us, 7+ billion of us on this earth. Some of us went to Rwanda together this spring with 1 million people killed in about 100 days, tortured, not just killed, but tortured horrendously. Where is God when all that's happening? And questions were just always going through your mind. How could God allow this? How could he have allowed the Holocaust, 9/11, all the horrible things that are happening right now in our world, the beheadings, all the horrible things and persecution of Christians and everything. I just read last night of a family. The ISIS had taken their 2 small children, beheaded them in front of the parents, and let the parents live because they were Christian. And their parents would either deny their faith or their 2 small children were going to be beheaded. Can you imagine the courage it takes to say, I believe in Christ, I can do no other? And you think of the faith of the apostles, we will preach Christ, we can do no other. And I want you to all face, Christ is real, he is alive. If you come to the gathering, he has died, he's risen, he's coming again. Christ is real, and he is pursuing you. He's pursuing you in your studies, he's pursuing you in every activity you get involved in. Congratulations, odd year, 2017, the rope pool, he was with you in that. The other team may be wondering about it right now, but you guys survived. He's with you in the games. I was talking to Coach Smith the other night, even when you get beaten 4-1 by Calvin. And he's with you, though, and the team members know that. And it's a marvel. God is interested in us individually, your needs, your wants. He knows what you need before you even ask him. And let's not be afraid to open our hearts to this God. He's not ready to just zap you. He's not like that. He's there to love you. One of my classes are reading The Return of the Prodigal Son. And the prodigal son, when he comes home, his father is waiting with open arms for him to return. And he's also waiting for the elder, judgmental son to return too, who's judging the prodigal son. He wants both his sons home. God wants all of us home, all of us back to him. So if I can encourage anything, read the Bible if you've never done it, and read it like a book, cover to cover, and really search for this God. He's searching for you, and be willing to open your hands to this God as you go through your classes and things the rest of the day. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do, Lord. We ask you that you will help us, Lord, to truly open our ears to you, our eyes to you, to see the miracles all around us, and not to be unaware of the fact that you love us and you're holding out your arms to receive us home, and that you delight in us as your own children. You want to make us your sons and daughters so we can share in your joy and in your life, and help us live that abundant life in front of others so they may see you in us. In your son's name.